Alrighty, everyone, welcome to episode 23 of Scooter and the Big Man. On this episode, we talk about the big trades around the MLB, what's wrong with some of our smaller markets, the Mets get a new assistant GM, will the Dark Knight rise again, and we break down our New Year's resolutions as a podcast. Without further ado, let's get it started. Guys, welcome to episode 23 of Scooter and the Big Man, and there is no better way to start off this episode than talking about the biggest news that happened over the last couple of days, PJ. Matt Harvey threw a bullpen.
That's great.
Did you not see it?
No, I actually didn't.
The Dark Knight threw a bullpen inside an empty, like, gymnasium, and I think we need to, you know, get that circulating that the Dark Knight is looking for a job.
I think everyone knows that he's looking for a job after the way he pitched the Royals last year.
Yeah, but we have to take this on as our own personal, like, responsibility of getting Matt Harvey a job.
Listen, I would love for Matt Harvey to get a job, but after he pitched fucking for the Royals, I'm not too optimistic. I would love to see it. I'm rooting for him. I'll always root for him, but I'm not optimistic.
Do you think we could get him on, like, the Korean Baseball League?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, I'm not trying to. I don't think MLB really is in the cards anymore. But, like, at any point, like, we got to get him something. It's
more of a case if he wants to go play overseas than if a team overseas will sign him, I think.
What do you think? Give me some odds. Do you think it's more likely he plays for like the Atlantic League, like the Long Island Ducks, the Korean Baseball League, or a Major League Baseball team? What's, like, 1, 2, 3? The like most likely.
I would say independent. Korean MLB.
Okay.
Not saying if he doesn't shine in one of those leagues, he can't make it back to the majors. It's just that, like, a team gave him a shot last year. He didn't do anything. So he has to go prove himself again.
Tell me though, like, if he were to sign like a minor league deal with the Rays, that you wouldn't start feeling a little saucy about it. Like, you wouldn't be like future all-star Matt Harvey. Like, they're going to fix him. Like, that's all you would need.
If the Rays signed him, I would be super confident that he would be a Cy Young candidate again. And while we're on the topic of the Rays, we got big trades to announce. Not for the Mets, because they haven't done anything. They didn't do anything else after the McCann stuff. But the Padres are just fucking going for it, right?
Well, that's why I brought up that there's a hole in the Rays rotation. You know, maybe they look at another minor league deal like they did with, you know, get Michael Wacha in there, fill it with another random dude and turn him into a star. But they traded Blake Snell. Blake Snell's last pitch in a Tampa Bay Rays uniform is, you know, getting pulled in the World Series when he was absolutely filthy and dominating in Game 6. And now he's going to be the front and center, you know, face of the San Diego Padres.
Think about the Padres rotation for not even this year, because they literally made another trade for Yu Darvish, even like just before we hopped on here, which we said that wasn't technically completed, but it's like the on the 1 yard lines type of deal. I think so. I think that's what was tweeted. But if you think about the rotation just for not even this year, but the year upcoming, they have Mike Clevinger too, plus Blake Snell, plus Yu Darvish, plus Dylan Lamet. Chris Paddock is still there, who fuck him, but he's still a solid guy. And they have like one or two guys to come up in the farm system. They're supposed to be really fucking good. Their team is insane.
They didn't trade Mackenzie Gore, right?
No, he's still there.
Yeah. So like they got,
unless he was in, like, he wasn't in the Snell trade, unless he was in the Darvish trade that they're going to make. Cause we don't know the details of that yet. Other than they're also getting Victor Caratini, that he's also just going to be in the rotation, which is fucking insane. And they also went out and signed that Korean infielder. I don't know how to say his name. It's like Ha Sway Kim, I think. Back you fact check that.
I think it's Ha Seong Kim.
Ha Seong Kim. Okay. That was close.
So let's just talk about the Padres as a whole real quick. So obviously the Padres were an exciting team to watch in the postseason last year. They have a lot of young and just a lot of excitement. They were a lot of fun with Slam Diego last year. And they've officially went all in. They are 100% all in. Even without Clevinger, they're going to have a rotation that's going to have, you know, Snell, Darvish, like you just said, Paddock. Like, those are three monsters at your head of your rotation. And the rest of the rotation is fucking solid. And then they have like Tatis Jr. They're going to have Eric Hosmer. Now they have Manny Machado, and now they just signed Ha-Seong Kim. And just to give you a little background on Ha-Seong Kim, obviously he played over in the Korean Baseball League last year, right? Was it the Korean Baseball League?
Yes.
Okay. So he played in the Korean Baseball League. Just in his season alone last year, he had 30 home runs while playing a combination of third and shortstop. Obviously, the Padres don't need a third baseman with Machado. They don't need a shortstop. They have Tatis, but you put this guy at second base. I think they had like fucking Ian Kinsler playing some second base for them at times last year. Like, this is a huge, huge upgrade at their second base position.
Oh, yeah. Especially if he's going to play second. Like you said, I don't, if he played shortstop in the Korean League, I assume that the most logical spot to put him is second, unless they're like, hey, we'll try on the outfield, which is usually the other place people go. But I want to talk about Manny Machado real quick, because like everyone, and I'm not going to exclude myself because I probably said it too, everyone when he signed that deal with the Padres, like, all right, cool, he's just signing a 10-year deal to go chill for like 10 years and not care about the playoffs. Did Manny Machado see a vision that we didn't, that he knew the Padres are going to go fucking ape shit for the rest of for the next 2 years to just acquire like all this fucking talent?
I mean, it's possible the organization could have been like, hey, listen, like, we got this kid Tatis Jr. coming up, we got a lot of young talent coming up, and like, this is our vision for this organization, and like, during your 10-year window, we're gonna try to capitalize on it, and this is our plan. And he might have been like, wow, this is a pretty solid fucking plan, and you're gonna write me a check for $300 million, like, and I get to live in fucking San Diego and play at Petco Park, which is literally one of the nicest fucking stadiums in all of baseball.
Can't confirm. Like, fuck,
sign me up. And dude, honestly, those new Padre uniforms with the brown pinstripes, those are fucking nice. Those are nasty uniforms. Those are some of the best in baseball.
I mean, I was jerking off the Padres all this entire season, and they're just getting fucking better, which it's kind of annoying in a sense that that's what we were supposed to be doing. But like I said, like we've been saying, I trust them. Slow process, just do the right thing. I don't care. I know that they have the best for the organization in mind. Go slow, get your guys. But it's just like, fuck, I want this excitement. Like, this is what I was thinking was going to happen this offseason for us, and it's happened to the fucking Padres.
Well, I'm going to try to like pump the brakes a little bit on this. So as of right now, most of their moves have been done through the trade, yet, like through wheeling and dealing, giving away prospects and whatnot. And Sandy Alderson kind of said he didn't want to do that. Also, we don't have that much to give. So I think the Mets not being in on like guys like Blake Snell and Hugh Darvish, that's not on the current regime. It falls back on Brody more than anything for trading away fucking great prospects for shit.
I am not saying that I want to. I was like, oh, I need these to be made, these moves made specifically for the Mets. I'm just saying, like, just big moves, big acquisitions happening in general. Like, I'm not saying, oh, the Mets should have been making trading weather farm for Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. No, I'm just saying, like, in general, like, we were supposed to be signing like everyone, Springer, Bauer, and they haven't done that yet.
But like,
that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. But like, I'm frustrated like that the Mets aren't involved in this trade market. Because like a guy like Blake Snell, 3 years, $39 million of Blake Snell, like that's fucking highway robbery. Mm-hmm. And the fact that we traded a superstar prospect in fucking Kalenic away for an aging PED using second baseman, like, it's just so fucking frustrating. I know Edwin Diaz is the main part of that deal, but like, such a waste of like trading away a top prospect.
It absolutely is a waste, and that's going to be the cornerstone and the lasting memory of Brody Van Wagenen's short tenure at the Mets, is trading away possible generational talent for stupid fucking like a Revolta relief pitcher and out of his prime PED using second baseman.
That's just the big thing, though. I just want the Mets fans to like really, really remember like the fact that they're missing out on some of these big trade guys. It is not the current regime's fault. It's Brody's fault. Like, he depleted the farm completely. Like, these guys aren't going to trade like the very last few talented pieces unless it's a surefire home run. And like, they're, you know, maybe it's more of like picking up a salary dump rather than getting like a guy on a cheap deal. Like, Blake Snell, you had to give the farm to get. Like, Padres traded Patino, Mejia, and Wilcox and a player to be named later for 3 years of Blake Snell. Like, that's a pretty decent fucking haul. And I trust the Rays. The Rays like trade track record is pretty good.
Yeah, I said it too, that I guarantee all of those guys become future stars or just like something. Like one's going like a Cy Young, one's going like MVP, one's going like a batting title. Like they're going to have so much value just because the Rays are just so fucking good at evaluating talent. Now, I want to ask you, because we said like we don't have that much capital to make these trades. Would you have like, who is this a guy that you would trade some of the remaining prospects we have? Cause we talked about last week, how we're like Luis Castillo and even you Darvish in a sense, Darvish and Sonny Gray. We talked about those guys being on the market. We're like, oh, I don't know if I would want to trade any of these top guys for them. Would Blake Snell fit in your criteria for those, like a top end guy that you would trade your prospects for?
Yeah, no, he wouldn't. 3 years. Like I just said, 3 years, $39 million to Blake Snell. Like, I think that's a home run. The guy could pitch in the postseason. He's an ace at the top of your staff. Like, if you had him with, I mean, how do you feel about this? I think Blake Snell is better than Trevor Bauer.
I think he has more on his record than Trevor Bauer does. So I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he has more years where he's done it than Bauer has.
Cy Young, longer track record, postseason success. Obviously, Bauer's been like 50-50 in the postseason. Like, he was dominant with that one start with the Reds, but like with the Indians, like he's gotten beat up a little bit every now and then. So it's not like he's been absolutely lights out in the postseason.
Where are you with Bauer coming to the Mets? Cause I said this like 2 weeks ago, every single week, I'm like 10% less that he's going to come here.
Yeah. The longer he's out there, the more likely I think he's going to be an Angel. I really think the Padres are obviously now out of the Bauer thing. We were worried about maybe the Padres being involved or anything like that. They're out. They're not going to be in on Bauer. I think the Reds have zero chance of bringing him back. They're trying to like get rid of everyone in the world. So I really think it's going to be like the Blue Jays, the Angels, the Mets. And I just think the longer he's out there, the more likely he's going to be an Angel. I want to go back a little bit though to the Blake Snell trade. And this is going to be kind of segueing into like the next part as well. So the Tampa Bay Rays, just as like an organization, have now traded away one of their best players in the year that they're coming off of winning the pennant and being two games away from winning a championship. This player is under like we just said multiple times, he's under a 3-year, $39 million contract. That's a very, very affordable contract. Mm-hmm. It's not like he was due for a giant payday next season. Like, he is under control for a while and he could have anchored this rotation for a while. And I want to read something that Howie Rose put out on Twitter, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because honestly, I read it and I was like, this is literally what's wrong with baseball right now. And we're going to use the Rays as an example. And we're going to use the Pirates as an example as we transition to the next thing as well. So this is what he said. The Blake Snell trade is a perfect example of why the expansion cannot be considered until existing houses are in order. This is about potentially adding extra MLB teams, on why you can't add those teams yet, because there's still a lot of problems with what's already in baseball. He continues. He says the Rays are a great baseball organization, but their necessary business model benefits no one. Move or face contraction. This is not good for the game. So basically, you get these talented guys. They dominate for you. They do well. However, you know you're not going to attract free agents. So once these guys build up enough credibility, you're basically shipping them out, getting a bunch of shit back in return and hoping you can develop it and just keep it going, because you know you're not going to attract anyone. You know you can't pay anyone because you don't have that much money. And it's like a never-ending cycle where these guys start becoming stars and then the Rays have to get rid of them in order to stay afloat. And it sucks. It sucks for the fans of Tampa, and it sucks just for baseball. Like, how the Tampa Bay Rays will never have somebody that's like a Tampa Bay Ray for life, like comes up through the system, dominates for them. Is it like a star? Who's the equivalent of that? Evan Longoria?
I was going to say probably. Yeah. Longoria was there from like 2008 to like, he was there for 10 years of his career. It's not impossible, but like, that's just the thing with a small market team. Yeah, it is a detriment to like the fans, like you said, but like how, like it's a problem we know, but like, how do you fix that? It's one thing to point out that problem, but like, what do you do? Like, can you tell me how you solve that? How you solve a team not having more money, like enough money to do that? Like the Rays, like the way that it's structured now, and I'm not like this, I'm just throwing my thoughts out there.
Yeah, no, think through it.
The way that the Rays can operate, this is the best way that they can be successful, by having the best talent evaluators, because they know they can't get these top level prospects. They know they can't pay top dollar for these guys. So they have to get these guys while they're while they're relatively young and cheap. And like I said, that's exactly what Harry Rose is saying. But like it just goes back to the, how do you fix that?
So there's a couple ways to fix it. And first off, I think you have to look at your teams that are not bringing in enough income, maybe like with low attendance, just the fans in the area are not interested. Obviously, Tampa has been a city where this has been talked about, potentially relocating this franchise. I mean, let's be face it, unless they're rebuilding them a stadium, like, and we've talked, they've already said that they want to potentially do 50-50, half in Tampa, half in Montreal. That's not the answer either. You have to put this team in a city where they're wanted, where they can attract, where there's a lot of like nightlife and buzz and like fans are really interested in them. Unfortunately, no one's interested in the Rays and they play in one of the shittiest stadiums ever. That payroll is going to be low. Attendance is going to be low. Even when the team is so successful, no one is interested. I just think like you have to get them out of there and put them in a better market. That's the Rays though.
What city though? Like realistically, you could say, oh, New York, there's right two New York teams. Chicago, there's two Chicago teams. LA, yeah, two LA teams. Like what realistic spot could you move them to that's in a big market that would realistically give them enough of a bump payroll wise and market wise to make that like a viable option and like a switch worth making?
I don't know about like payroll wise, but I think just making them a little bit more attractive. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to the city of Nashville.
I have.
Nashville is a fucking fun place to be. Like they get hyped for the Predators. They get hyped for the Titans. Like they're pretty loyal and passionate about everything there. I feel like you could put a baseball team there and they would do better than they do in Tampa.
They go nuts. Football is a whole different animal. Football is once a week. Like I don't like fans are going to come out to a football game. That's just the nature of the sport and how they're scheduled. Hockey, if you're a diehard, like it says something that with teams, hockey teams in like small locations go nuts for that team because that's usually the only team in that market. So like putting a just saying that the Nashville fans and those like Tennessee fans would go nuts for the Rays just because they go nuts for everything else. It might just be not the nature of the sport. And that is a detriment to baseball that they can't have those rabid fans like that. But like, I mean, Nashville would be a good spot for having any sort of team. Cause like you said, like in theory, those fans go nuts for football and hockey. So why not put a team there?
I think also maybe just somewhere in the Carolinas, like both those places, like Charlotte, even like, I feel like there's just better sport towns that don't have something, you know, like I feel like they could still be in the East. Like, cause also you might want to be keeping the same division layout. So you want to keep them in the East, like Nashville is kind of central a little bit, but you could probably get away with them being in the East still. And then like, if they were on the East Coast in like Charlotte or anywhere in the Carolinas, I feel like you could do it. Or like, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not trying to get too caught up in like where you would put them to, but like, I think now I think relocating would work for the Rays. I think when you look at the Pirates are different because the Pirates are in a really good spot. I feel like Pirate fans are passionate. They just suck. The team just sucks. Not the fans. And they have one of the worst owners in all baseball. Very similar to like a Wilpon, where they just don't invest in the team. And it's just a constant of like revolving door. So like what they just did, a young superstar first baseman under control on a rebuilding team with absolutely nothing. You ship them away and you get two right-handed pitching prospects back from the Nationals in Will Crow and Eddie Yean. And Eddie Yean is kind of like the chip of this one. Yeah, but he's still young. And I think I read he's in like single A or high A. So he's still a ways away on a team that's really, really doesn't have that many pieces at all. You got to feel bad for fucking Pirates fans. Cause again, we talk about stadiums earlier on with Petco Park. PNC Park is one of the greatest stadiums probably in the league. Do you agree?
PNC is nice. I've been there a couple times and I have my gripes with the city of Pittsburgh. Fuck the Steelers. But Pittsburgh as like a city is like a cool place. And that stadium is like, it's right over the bridge. It's in a good location, right in the river. So like location wise and like just atmosphere wise for a city, they have that. The fans are good. Like they have as much of a rabid fan base as you can get with like an MLB team. I would say usually like they love the Pirates. And yeah, you do kind of feel bad. They just don't give a shit. Like the owners do not give a shit about the team.
such a team with such a rich fucking history.
Very rich history.
Like, this is a little bit, like I said, this is different from the Rays. I would not move the Pirates out of Pittsburgh in a million years. Like, that is just part of, it's just historic. Like, that's, they belong history. There. The Rays are
forever.
Yeah, like the Rays obviously haven't been there that long. There's really not that much history with the Rays. I know they've been to two World Series, but they've lost both. And like, I don't know, the Pirates just have such a rich history and they're such a huge part of just baseball. And it's a shame. It's a shame just like watching this team, like just they're going to lose probably almost 100 games this year. And like the Pirate fans already know that.
Yeah, it's one of those things like, oh, why tune in to watch? Because we know that the owners don't give a shit. So why should I give a shit? It's kind of like what, I don't know if you guys saw what like JJ Watt was saying yesterday about like the Texans just as a team. He was like, the fan, and this is what like the, I'm saying, this is what the Pirates should, like the Pirates front office should be listening to that, where he basically just said, listen, if you guys don't want to win, like get the fuck off the team. Because these fans pay for your merch. They support you every single game, every single time you go down. They're like, get back up. We want you to win. We cheer for you thick and thin. And the fact that you go out there and you don't care, you shouldn't be on this fucking team. And that's what I want everyone in the Pirates front office to look at. Hey, if you don't want to be here, sell the fucking team, because these fans love this team and they want to win. And you obviously don't care.
I mean, there's so many teams that you can use this as an example for, like the Baltimore Orioles fit this recently too, where just like a historic franchise, awesome stadium. They're just a fucking laughing stock, but at least I see a plan in Baltimore.
I was going to say there's a difference between a team going through a full rebuild and a team who doesn't really care.
Yeah. The Pirates do not care.
The Pirates don't care.
Pirates do not care. The Rays are really good because they found a way to succeed in this way, like where they have to get these guys up to a star level and ship them. Like, I mean, they've been doing this though for years. This isn't new for the Rays. They did this with David Price. They do this every single time. And if you hit free agency, they don't go after you. They let you go. Carl Crawford, they let him go. And he kind of turned into nothing after the Rays.
Yeah, no, like I said, the Rays, I truly think that the Rays front office, they care about the Rays. They're operating the best way they can, given what they have. And it's not like I said, they don't not care about the fans. This is the only way they know how to operate to have any sort of sustained success. The Orioles, you have to go through these tough times sometimes, especially when you're a smaller market team with a good stadium. They, like you said, they have a plan in place. Like Adley Rutschman is going to be a fucking stud catcher for them. And even teams like, I'm trying to think of another team that went through. It's like the Braves went through it a little bit too.
Yeah, a little bit.
The Braves went through a tough turn where it's like, hey, we're going to suck for a year or two. Calm down. We have a plan in place. That's all you want, really, as a fan. Like, if you're going to suck, have a plan in place, go through it. Don't just ship guys to ship guys because you want to like save money or you just don't care.
All right. So like, I guess we have to talk about it a little bit too, the flip side of the Pirates trade. So we kind of said the Pirates perspective. The Nationals do acquire Josh Bell, big time slugger first baseman. We have a producer who's a diehard Nationals fan, quote unquote, diehard. Pat, any thoughts on acquiring Josh Bell, your new first baseman?
He's a big, big trade. I'm happy
He
is a big trade.
He's a big trade piece. I'm happy.
You're going to trade him?
No, trading four.
Let the man speak.
Trading four. No, it's cool. I mean, I was doing some brief research on this guy, and he sounds pretty good. And he was an all-star in 2019. I think he's had one of five players to hit a home run so far when it's like the river behind PNC Park, whatever the fuck that river is. I think he batted 536 in high school. So I'll take him. I'll take him.
Great.
I'm glad you're super excited for your new star.
There's no rivers in near Nationals Park though. So I don't know what he's going to be aiming for.
So he's going to be a bust is what you're saying. No. Yeah. This is kind of an annoying trade because Josh Bell is really fucking good. And of course he has to go to the Nationals.
Yeah. Them getting this type of piece for their lineup. I mean, honestly, I feel like the Nationals, tell me if I'm wrong. When we're looking at the division right now, as everything falls right now, I still think the Nationals are the biggest threat to win the division.
I still think it's the Braves.
Do you think it's the Braves? Okay.
Yeah. I'd probably go Braves. Honestly, Braves, us, Nationals.
See right now, don't get mad. I think it's Nationals, Braves, us.
I still think it's us.
I can't feel comfortable with our starting rotation yet to say that we could win a division.
That's fair, I guess.
Like, but when we have to find a way to match up against, you know, Scherzer, Strasburg, Corbin, isn't there another one?
Sanchez, Annabelle Sanchez.
Not worried about that.
It's really those three. Like Annabelle Sanchez, I think Joe Ross.
All right, so those that three-headed monster, until we can match up against their three-headed monster, like when Noah's maybe back later in the year, I'll feel, even if we don't sign another big name pitcher or trade for one, I like DeGrom, Stroman, Syndergaard. I still feel like the edge is theirs, but like I still like that.
Peterson.
Peterson's, yeah. I mean, if it's a four-game series, sure, give me Peterson. Like I trust Peterson over their 4 and 5.
I do too. But I trust our lineup like a lot more than theirs, if I'm being totally honest too. Like Juan Soto is obviously the guy. Josh Bell, you put him into that lineup now is scary. But I still think our lineup matches up so much better than theirs does. Because like I'm trying to think of like what position could you say that they're better than ours?
Wherever they right put now. Soto. Left field.
Left field, yeah. Okay, that's one. Do you think Bell's better than Alonso? Yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah, barely. But yeah, just because Bell's got a better track record, that's fair. All.
It's fair.
Yeah, I would say Josh Bell's better than Pete Alonso.
Like, I don't even know. Is Yan Gomes still a catcher, Pat?
Yeah.
I'd take McCann over Yan Gomes.
Yeah, I would take McCann. I mean,
McNeil,
yeah.
Who, like, if you go position, I would take Nimmo over Robles.
I would definitely take Conforto over him. I know, like, I don't know how we're setting up the outfield, but yeah.
I don't either. I
see what you mean.
My point is that if you go position by position, I think our lineup is much better. Sands, you know, left field, Juan Soto is a beast. And the argument between Bell and Alonso is definitely there. I think you go either way, and I wouldn't be opposed to you saying either or. The rotation, I agree with you. But their bullpen's not that good either.
No, their bullpen's trash.
So that's why I'm saying I think the Mets, even in their current state, which they're going to get better, is matches up better than the Nationals do to win a division. And then I honestly think it's Marlins Phillies. I think the Phillies fucking stink.
Yeah, no, I'm not threatened by the Phillies at all. I think they're fucking, I think they're going to be a laughing stock. I'm so happy. I'm so happy Bryce Harper sits there and rots. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the best thing for Philadelphia is if you could find somebody that's willing to take Harper.
I don't know anyone who would have that. Like you'd have to hope that Brody gets hired somewhere else as a GM to take on that fucking contract.
I don't know. Maybe like Boston or something. I feel like Boston might do something dumb.
No, because Boston is Shai Bloom. They're cutting salary. They're not going to take on Bryce Harper.
That's right. I actually like Bloom.
I do too.
So
what could have been?
Kind of want to point this out too. A lot of Met fans are like, oh, look what the, and we mentioned it earlier. And I know you weren't like kind of saying it like this, but there are fans who are saying it like this where they're like, oh, this should be us. The Mets should be going all in. Like the Padres are going all in. Like what's going on? This is so frustrating watching another team do this. At the end of the day, like you said, every single big fish is still out there on the market. Mm-hmm. And the Mets have already said that they're going to do most of their offseason shopping in free agency. They don't want to give up prospects. So every single guy that we want is still a free agent. And the Mets have spent more than any other MLB team on free agents already this offseason. I know there hasn't been a lot, but I don't think anyone spent more than us. Maybe the Royals. I know the Royals did like 3 transactions, but if you're talking about overall contract money given out, I don't think anyone spent more than the Mets.
No, like, I don't think the Royals have their 3 contracts. I don't think even match up to like Trevor May's $50 million.
I think like total, they're like 30 million.
They're not even the same as James McCann.
Yeah.
So like that, my message to the Mets fans is look at the Padres. Don't get all up in arms that the Mets aren't doing these things right now, because our time will come. Like I said, I think I said George Springer, January 11th, the Mets, he will be in a Mets uniform. He will be officially signed January 11th. You can book me on that. And we don't have to worry about these trades being made. Would it be nice to have a Blake Snell? Would it be nice to have a Yu Darvish? Yes, of course it would. But trust in Sandy Alderson, trust in Steve Cohen, trust in Jared Porter, and trust our new assistant GM.
Yeah, our new assistant GM is Zach Scott. He spent his last 17 years with the Boston Red Sox. Jared Porter actually worked with him on a daily basis for 10 years over in Boston. And Jared describes him as a dynamic thinking person and a creative person. So, you know what? I'm all aboard. I mean, he also did a lot of like scouting stuff, and he was like an assistant GM. He kind of bounced around in his role in his 17 years with Boston. But like, Boston's been a pretty fucking successful organization over the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And if this guy was in their front office doing a lot of key things, like, sign me up.
I like more that they work together. So like, you know, that they're comfortable with each other to like bounce ideas off of and be a collective unit. So that's what I like more than like, honestly, his experience was, correct me if I'm wrong, was he also in the running for the GM position, or did I make that up?
You might've made that up. I don't remember hearing that.
Okay. I don't remember. There's a few names. And like I said, even before, I wasn't totally familiar with all the GM candidates, and that's such a, Zach Scott is a very generic name.
Oh, so for
I
was sure.
Like, it could have easily been in there, and I just did not bat an eye at it.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm happy with the move. It sounds almost more like this is Porter picking his guy more than Sandy picking a guy for Porter, which is kind of cool. If he's worked with Porter on a daily basis for 10 plus years, this sounds like Jared got his buddy that he loves working side by side with, and he handpicked him. This isn't Steve or Sandy going out and trying to like force a fit. This is Jared being like, no, like, trust me, give me this guy and we can do this together. And I like that.
Yeah, that's really all I got on it. Just get guys you're comfortable with. That's how you kind of build the front office. Get guys you trust.
Yeah. I mean, so back to free agency for a minute, though. Like, no, I don't want anyone to freak out until George Springer signs with another team or Trevor Bauer signs with another team. If both those guys go elsewhere, then you could start being a little upset and maybe up in arms. But even with that, I would still see how everything shapes out before we completely fucking riot. But I could definitely understand Met fans freaking out if they lose out on George Springer.
I have a question for you while we're on the subject of getting guys. I don't know if you had this on your deck, because I think you said you had some hypotheticals for later. Mm-hmm. Kevin Kiermaier.
Wait, can I say my hypothetical then?
Yeah.
All right, because Kevin Kiermaier is my hypothetical.
Okay.
So this is a would you rather. Would you rather have Kevin Kiermaier and Trevor Bauer or George Springer and Jake Odorizzi?
I would say Springer and Odorizzi.
Okay.
Because like I said, it's a similar thing to like JBJ with Kiermaier. They're both very talented defenders in center field. Like, honestly, two of the best in the league, but not great hitters. And Springer, the difference between Springer's bat and both those guys' bats is so much greater than the difference between their gloves and his glove, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And like I said, Bauer is great. I would take George Springer plus a very solid arm in Odorizzi over Bauer.
It's funny because I agree. I understand a lot of the things you're saying, but like, I feel like gun to my head, I would say Trevor Bauer, Kevin Kiermaier. Like, I think the bigger hole in this Mets like current roster is in the rotation than in the offense. And I can't see passing up on a potential 1A type pitcher and getting a solid defensive player with like a decent bat.
You also got trade stuff for Kiermaier too.
That's true. No,
like
that's true.
You got to make a trade for Kiermaier. Like
that's true.
If you wanted to go that defense first center fielder route with Bauer, you better off just going with JBJ.
Yeah, no, that's true. I do like Kiermaier a lot. I saw his name and start kind of buzzing around, and I put it out on the Scooter and the Big Man Twitter being like, I think this has to be an option in center field if you miss out on Springer.
I don't know.
You'd rather Kiermaier than Jackie Bradley Jr., right?
I think I'd rather JBJ.
Ooh, okay.
I think like I said, they're both like similar in terms of defense first over hitting. And I think Bradley's a better defender. And I think he's a better hitter too, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, he was an ALCS MVP too. That's kind of a cool thing. Pat, break what you just said.
Steve Cohen tweeted about, I think a little bit after we started the podcast, he said, hey, give the Padres credit. They had a top five farm system that gave the flexibility to trade for Snell. Newsflash, the Mets farm system needs to be replenished.
Good for him.
Did Cohen just say, fuck you, Brody? I wanted a better farm system.
And then somebody replied back saying, newsflash, signing free agents does not cost prospects. And then he replied back saying, thanks, Vin. You should be my chief of strategy.
I love him so much.
Oh, man.
He's my king, as you can see on my shirt.
I did see, PJ's wearing a giant Steve Cohen on his shirt. I did see this on Facebook, too. Mets Facebook is a place where idiots go to die. I'm sorry. If any of you are consistently posting these Mets fan pages on Facebook, seek help. I mean, you guys say some ridiculous things. I thought Mets Twitter is a depressing place. Mets Facebook is an idiotic place. Like there are some real dumbasses on there. That being said, one of these people said, I'll try to find it real quick. If I can, I understand what the summary was. It was basically like, did Steve Cohen buy the Mets so he could just like become a public Twitter figure? Like, I'm really getting tired of his shit. Like, and I was like, come on, like, come on. Like he didn't, unless this offseason he signs absolutely nobody, that is not a take he can have. Just people, fucking enjoy this. Why do people have to ruin everything?
Dude, people say, oh, we want to be smart. We want to do things right. We don't want to fuck this up. And then when it doesn't happen immediately, they're like, oh, why are you waiting so long? Like, just sign whoever. We want to get this done as quickly as possible. Like, they flip on a fucking dime just like that when it doesn't happen right away. Be fucking patient. Like, I know it's taking longer than we kind of thought. Like, I thought we would have George Springer by now. I'm not going to lie, but I'm not freaking out. Like, it happens. Be smart. They're being smart. And that's all I fucking want is for them to be smart.
The panic meter on me right now is like a zero. I'm not nervous. I'm really not nervous. Oh, Pat, you have more breaking news?
More breaking news. Do the
breaking news sound that you do. That's copying. Don't copy part of my take.
That's not. Please stop.
There's a 7-player trade for Darvish and the Padres. 5 players are going to the Cubs. None are among the top 5 Padre prospects, says Bob Nightingale, is he a reliable source? I don't
know. I mean,
no.
We don't have time for
but
that.
Then
no, but he
does say confirm that Padre starter Zach Davies will be going to the Cubs in the 7-player Yu Darvish trade.
I hate Zach Davies. That guy weighs 90 pounds soaking wet. 90 pounds.
Ooh, weight shaming here?
Coming from the man himself.
Yeah, like I weigh 90 pounds. If Zach Davies can throw in the high 90s, why can't I?
Because you stink.
I know. I just
and
wish
you're not
I
good at baseball. And Zach Davies is a very good player.
I just wish I was. All right. So that's kind of cool. Thanks, Pat, for breaking that for us.
No problem.
All right. So while we're on the topic of Cohen on Twitter, Steve Cohen also had a pretty funny tweet earlier where he said, Cohen says he's calling Porter to find out what's going on. And then like a lot of fans were like, oh, like tell him like to sign Springer or everything. But it's just like, I love how he's using Twitter as if he's just talking to like a giant Mets group chat. Like it's like a giant group chat of Mets fans. And he's just like, I'm going to go call Porter. I'll find out what's going on, guys.
I mean, we talk about this weekly, how much we love how personable Cohen is on Twitter. And I've said, I have buddies who are getting annoyed mainly because he is not their owner and he is giving so much hope and he is so much fun. I fucking love it. Give me it every single week. I will talk about it every single week because I will say it every single week. It is fucking refreshing to have this guy own this team after years and years of absolute bullshit with the Wilpons.
No, I completely agree. Every single time he tweets, every time he says anything like that, I'm all in. The Mets also just did something else too that we didn't really bring up yet. They avoided arbitration with Noah Syndergaard, signing him to a 1-year, $9.7 million deal. We talked about this last week. Noah should be back around June, like mid to late June. So he'll still be here for a bulk of the season. They'll just have to go a couple months without Noah. So any thoughts about avoiding arbitration with Noah Syndergaard? It's kind of just more something we wanted to note. I don't know if there's anything to talk about on that.
Yeah, there's not really much on that. Let's just bring this up since we're talking about Noah. His contract situation at the end of the year. What does he need to do to earn a big contract thing? Because he's coming off a major injury. He could look bad. And like if he comes out looking flat or looking like he's not 100%, like what do you do with him?
I think unless he's like I'm resigning him no matter what.
But it's if it's like a concerning level of like, he does not look like himself.
Like he can't throw like over like 95.
Like if it's like what Harvey's velocity went. I'm just making a point. His velocity went down to an alarming rate. Like if that happens, what do you do? Do you maybe be like, hey, no, we want you to come back. Because we know that you're just coming off this. But like, do you be like, hey, qualifying offer, 1-year deal. Like, what do you do?
Maybe a 1-year deal then, but I feel like they're going to resign him. I feel like they're going to resign him before they see enough of him.
That's dangerous though.
No, I agree, but I feel like they're going to gamble. I feel like that this, I know this is going to be a smart front office, but I also feel like in order to be a completely smart front office, you have to take some risks.
I agree.
Like risks have to work out. Like if they were somehow able to get like Noah, like on a 3-year 60 or 3-year 50, like as soon as he comes back being like, hey, listen, do you want to sign this? Like he might, who knows? And I would take him for that.
Yeah, no, if you can get him on like a friend, like a very friendly contract like that, that's definitely worth the risk. But what if he's like, no, I want this like 5-year $100 million contract. Like,
no,
what?
I'm not doing that.
It's like I said, it's something like when he comes back, it's a conversation to have. Then I just thought of that top of my head as we're talking about Syndergaard now, it's something they're going to have to think about.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day though, from everything Noah has shown, I think Noah wants to be a Met.
I think so too. Especially with Cohen here, like Cohen effect has hit him big too.
So I think he wants to be here. So I'm not necessarily concerned about losing Noah Syndergaard. I just hope he can come back at a high level.
No, nope, I agree. And I'm very, very anxious to see how he comes back.
All right. So PJ, do you want to do our resolutions or do you want to talk about something first?
You know, I do have a surprise for you guys that I want to, I want to bring up. So it's the holidays. It's a time for gifts and such. And this podcast has been a big part of this year. I enjoy doing it every week. I enjoy doing it with you guys. You guys are my friends. This is fun. Like I said, this is the first time I've ever like put out content and I'm enjoying it a lot. So as my gift to you guys, I got this.
Hey. There you go. The big man.
So that one's mine. I have one that says Scooter and one that just says Pat.
Okay. I'm not going to get the Anda.
No, you don't get Anda. You just get Pat.
That's awesome. It's a
podcast gift to you guys because I love doing this and it's the holiday season.
Do you want to describe what you just showed us?
Yes. It's just a shirt with our logo on it. And on the back, it says Scooter for Brian, Pat for Pat, and the big man for myself.
Awesome. Thank you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of custom made shirts being made this holiday season.
Yes. Pat, which one's better?
Oh, yours by far. Brian, you have to put that photo on the social.
My dad is a listener.
Bill, for the love of God, if you have a respect in your body, get that shirt off your body. Throw it in the trash.
I asked Pat to make me a template so I can make my dad a Scooter and the Big Man shirt. Shout out Bill, lifetime Met fan. He has a Mr. Met tattoo on his calf.
He is like son.
Yeah, so do I. He is a diehard fan. That being said, I made him a t-shirt on custom ink that I had to expedite due to the holiday season with one of our logos. And it was fine. It's a fine looking shirt. It's
abnormally large. It's basically like this. The size logo PJ made on the front of his shirt is basically on your shirt, but on the nipple part. It's massive.
My dad has large breasts. So
that's it. Ugly shot at Bill.
Bill, I apologize.
Ricochet.
That's going to be you in 30 years. So,
that's your future.
With a mustache.
Thank you, Brian, Peter. Yeah, when I get back down to Orlando, Brian, I'll give that to you. Pat, I'll ship yours to you or however the fuck we
I'll
do this.
I'll scoop it up tomorrow morning.
All right, cool. Just drive over here.
Yeah. I can go through and hang out with all his redneck.
The Red Bank bastards.
Red Bank Brigade.
Should we also bring that up before we go to resolutions?
I would like to say congratulations, Pat.
Thank you.
I want to be the first to say it. I'm a man of honor, as you guys do not want to admit. I'm a man of honor.
Mm-hmm.
I give congratulations where they're deserved. Pat finally won a draft.
I think.
And eked out win. It was very close.
I hate how like before that draft, Brian was like, you know what? I'm going to be rooting for Pat, like, you know, do well in this draft. And then like, it got to a point where like, if all the people who voted for Brian voted for me, I would have like ran away with it, but it was a lot closer than it should have been. Brian, you should have directed your followers to vote for me if you really wanted me to win.
I should have. You're right. I still have not won a draft. That's why we're not doing a draft this week. We're going to do resolutions instead with New Year's Eve coming up in a couple days. The end of 2020 is very soon. Thank God. We're going to do three resolutions. Each of us is going to give a resolution for the podcast. I'm curious what Pat's is going to be, but we're going to do one for the Mets and then we're going to do one for ourselves. Is there an order we want to do this in? Do we each want to say?
Let's do Mets, then podcast, then personal.
Okay.
Do we want to just go all in one shot, or do we want to go each one gives a Mets?
We'll each do our Mets one, then we can talk, then we'll do podcasts, we'll talk, and we'll like break it down that way.
All right.
So who wants to go? And this won't be a snake draft. This can just be a straight shot.
Pat, you're a diehard Met fan, so why don't you give us your Met one?
My Mets New Year's resolution is I hope that everything becomes healthy again, where I can watch a Mets game at Citi Field and watch a nice Nationals Mets game. So that's my goal for this 2021 season, is I can actually see them play.
It's not really that. No, good goal.
That's the best you're going to get from me.
I know. I was going to say that's really not a Mets goal. That's more of a personal thing. Yeah. But you know what? I quickly realized that's probably the best we're going to get.
Please don't make me dig deep.
I know.
That's as deep as I can get.
Brian, yours?
Mine is a weird one. Mine's for them to achieve a certain stat. So my resolution for the Mets is to have a starting pitching ERA under 4 as a whole. So for their whole rotation, if you put all their ERAs together, they end the season under a 4 ERA. If they do if I do that, they're going to be in the playoffs.
No, that's very fair. Mine is simple. I'm not going to say World Series. I'm going to say NLCS. Make it to the championship series. Because I'm expecting big things out of the team. I'm expecting Springer. I'm expecting them to put them in a position to add on to this team that's already really fucking good, to where they should be expected to not only make the playoffs, but make a run in the playoffs. I'm saying NLCS, that is my goal for the Mets this year.
So, am I starting now again with?
Yeah, go on to your podcast.
We're not doing snake. Podcast goal, I would like to, I think if you go back to our first episode, or at least the first episode I was on with you guys, it's like night and day between the confidence we have on the mics now. I mean, I honestly listened back to the first episode I was on like earlier today, and I was like, holy shit, I just sound like a fucking like bitch. And I'm like, I was like so nervous. Nothing's ever changed. Maybe that'll be my personal one for 2021. But I think our confidence has grown like through the roof, like the last like few weeks and months. So I think we should really start putting that to the test. And I think our resolution for 2021 is to be invited on from another like kind of high profile ish Mets podcast their guest. Obviously, I don't think I would get the invite, but I'm going to try to push for you two to get a guest spot on someone else's Mets high profile podcast. That's my goal.
Cool. I like that.
My resolution for the podcast is, it's simple. Make over $25 an episode. It costs us about $17 a month to produce Scooter and the Big Man. We have yet to make $1. So if we make $25 an episode, that's roughly $100 a month. We could cover our costs, and each of us can get maybe one dinner on Scooter and the Big Man. So $25 an episode is the mark.
It's actually a little more, because now I'm starting to pay for the Zoom premiums.
All right.
So now it's a little more than
that. All right. So maybe we could get a McChicken.
That's fine. I'll take a dollar sweet tea. I don't care.
We need to look into how to monetize. I don't know if we have enough views to monetize yet.
Manifestation into monetization.
Rumor.
What is...
we probably have to change our theme song if we want to monetize, because it's blatant copyright.
But it's not copyright until they send us a C&D.
It's not murder until I get caught. But we're
I'm not sick if I don't go to the doctor.
Yeah, but it's like once they like let us know, it's like once we start making money, it's like it's not like we're like our brand, our identity is that song. It's like I have a lot in the tank. If you need a song, I got you. I have a four more episode band, but then.
Before I get to my podcast goal, Pat, you still have not made the apology video that you were going to make.
I was going to do that on Christmas Day. I forgot because I still got to do that. Well, you Brian sure shunned me from doing the breaking news graphic. I thought that'd be fine, but then.
No, I said video. You have to make a video.
Put the iron fist down.
Use that newfound confidence to effect and make a video.
All right, I guess they'll do that. I'll do it tomorrow.
My podcast goal, I want to get a player on this podcast interview. We've come into close with one Vic Black that didn't go anywhere.
Wait, what happened?
This is before you came here.
A player on the spot?
No, we almost did. He said he was going to come on.
Give me his info. I'll press him. This was months ago, Pat. Before Pat, this was BP.
His name is Vic Black. He's a former Mets reliever. We were contacting him on Instagram at VicBlack2. We made him the random Met of the week. He like responded to it saying like that he like loved it or something. And then we were like, come on the pod. And then he said, yes. And then we tried to set up a time with him and then he never answered.
He said that would be cool. I don't know if he actually ever said like, yes, I want to come on. It was like, hey, what time? Like, I was like, oh, what time works best? Some shit like that. But
to be fair, we were like two episodes in.
Very true.
A credit to that guy just for being like, well, I think now we like kind of built ourselves up a little more where we can actually. Yeah. You can score. So Vic Black, if you're listening, you don't have the fucking balls to get on Scooter and the Big Man.
I think we did through Twitter. Twitter right, has here, more following, but here, that's my goal is get I a player on. I have
the
on.
Vic Black conversation for you, Pat, real quick, if you want to hear how it went
yeah,
down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He said, thanks for the love. My favorite years having played the greatest game. So he loved being a Met, basically. We responded saying, we'd love to get you on the podcast to talk about your Mets career. And he said, you just give me a heads up and I'll make the time. So we said, okay. Check your DMs, and then he never answered.
I slid into his DMs.
No, it was Instagram.
All right, next week we're gonna get him on.
He has a Twitter.
This is something we'll iron out in post. Yeah. I've always wanted to say that.
Already off the bat, we're gonna get one of those things off the list, PJ.
We're gonna get your resolution off the list.
All right. But don't have him on before January 1st. Otherwise, PJ has to come up with another one. It doesn't count.
Yeah.
He's got to come up. That should be the rule then for all of 2021. Once we accomplish something, we have to replace it with a new one.
Ooh,
I like that. All of
2021.
Keep growing. Never settle.
$26 an episode.
There you go.
All right, Pat, what's your personal goal for your personal resolution?
Personal one. Just move out of my house. I'm tired of living home. I want to move out of my house. As you can see, I'm tired of this Washington memorabilia. I have my. But well, only rebellious thing in my room is that this thing behind me used to say Patrick and I took the Rick off to make it say Pat to make it seem like I'm an adult. I'm like, yeah, that's my resolution. I want to actually move out of my house and permanently stay away.
I think having your name on your bedroom wall in giant letters, whether you went from Patrick to Pat is still very, very childish.
Oh, no, absolutely. But it's the small victories.
I think it would have been better if you just kept the Rick.
I should have. Yeah. There's stuff on my walls I've not touched since like middle school. I have a Texans signed banner. If you can guess the two players that signed it, this was 2012.
I know the two players.
I think Brian knows them. There's two Texans players from that playoff team.
Give me a hint.
Both offense.
One was a tight end. One was a quarterback.
So was the quarterback Matt Schaub?
Yep. Yes. It's Matt Schaub.
And was the tight end CJ Fedorowicz?
No. He was number 81. If that helps.
It doesn't really. I don't know.
Owen Daniels.
Okay.
But like, I'm not a Texans fan. Why is that in my room? Why is that hanging in my wall? I need to be motivated to get out of here. Also, I guess like another thing, I kind of want to get hired by Barstool. That's another thing too.
No, does that mean you're on a 100 episode contract, Pat.
Well, your resolution for the podcast kicks in, that contract isn't voided.
The fact that your personal goal nor a podcast goal was get Kevin James on this podcast makes me upset.
I have plans for him. I'm going to get him on.
Another guarantee by Pat to get Kevin James on.
I'm telling you, this is all these like songs I keep surprising you guys with. They're just like decoys. It's the boy who cried wolf. And then the day I actually have like breaking news, he's just going to pop on the live feed.
I don't want you to do that. Like,
that's the only way I'm getting him on is the only way he would come on is if I just say, hey, well, I want to fuck with my two buddies. Just join the Zoom call for like 2 minutes.
But you could still like tell us and then we could.
No, I wouldn't. All he's right, just, he's just gonna. I'm gonna make a certain sound effect for it too. And then once you hear it, you'll be like, wait, he's coming. There you go. I'll play
rumor.
Fuck off. Brian, personal goal.
Personal goal is kind of weird. I couldn't really think of one, but I said make a studio. So I am resetting up my desk area and like all my wall decor behind me and stuff. So I kind of want to make like a more permanent recording location that we can do our content in. I would also like to exercise, but I know that's not going to happen. So I'm just going to say make a studio.
I'm still paying for a gym membership. I haven't been there since March.
I've been paying for Planet Fitness for a year. I think I've went once.
Planet Fitness. Yeah.
Yeah. $10.
Every time I walk in, they blame the hunk alarm. So that's why I'm not allowed back.
Yep. All right. That's a lie. PJ, what do you got?
Gym in my apartment building is so clutch. I don't have to pay for that. My personal goal is, I said it before, the podcast has allowed me to create content, which I find to be a lot of fun. So I want to continue doing that. I want to get like a presence on like Twitter, get the followers up to a certain amount. I don't really know what exactly that is. I've been trying to do like brown stuff on like a different account because I figure no one that actually follows me on my actual account gives a fuck about the Browns. So I want to try and build it up, see what I can build by myself. Cause we had Brian's old account that we transitioned into this Scooter and Big Man account. I want to see what I can build myself in terms of like that sort of account. So that's my personal goal. Get that up to like 1,000 to 2,000 followers by the end of the year.
Okay. It's a solid goal.
Yeah. I enjoy content.
I have a bonus goal.
Would this be separate from the Scooter and the Big Man pod? Like just like your personal Twitter page?
I mean, I've made a different one like specifically for like the Browns, but I would like for it to be like a thing that I can help build with the podcast for like connect the two at some point when it gets big enough.
If you need a producer for that Browns Twitter, let me know.
I got you.
I have a bonus goal.
Yeah.
I would like to sell Scooter and the Big Man out from under everyone for like $5,000. And just call it even.
That's how much this podcast is worth. $5,000. And you would what, pocket the whole thing? And we would just, I would be able to feed my kids.
I don't want your blood money.
I would say I got $3,000 and then give you each $1,000. And then I would keep $3,000.
So you're basically valuing yourself $2,000 more than us. You know what?
How about
you edit the podcast tonight? You know what? I'm ending the call right now.
Anyone could sell it.
That's not how that works. You don't get the guy from the mail room just going, I'm going to sell the company today and then get all the money.
No, we all could sell this at any time.
Pat, I think our collective podcast goal should be to eventually replace Brian with Trevor Hildenberg.
You, me, and that pitcher are going to start our own podcast.
Can you get him on? Pat, can you get us a player on? You're supposed to be like,
I'm going to get Vic Black and then I'm going to get that pitcher and then I'm going to get Jeff McNeil and then Kevin James.
When are you going to get
the four horsemen of the Scooter and the Big Man pod?
Can you do like actual research to figure out how we can make money? I feel like it's not that hard. I feel like we just have to do something.
Yeah.
Does Dunkin' Donuts want to sponsor us? Are we there yet?
We got to get some sort of fucking, probably,
like, what about some local? Can we find like a local place?
We always shout out
Heavenly Bagels, Pat. Go into like your local deli.
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I think we should, our best sponsorship is because we give them so many shout outs, all the mechanic places near City Field. We've made that joke so many times. I think maybe we can give them a shot.
We did Hanes Socks.
The 40 muffler shops around City Field. Yeah, we can get one of them.
We'll do
Dave's
it.
Right, Mufflers.
I think we just got to go on a full marketing, like guerrilla warfare kind of just like, Taylor May still hasn't even responded to my emails. And I checked that twice a day.
Pat, wait, we're using our platform wrong right now. We already said that we want to make $25 an episode. So if anyone here listening owns a small business and you want to pay $100 a month, we will advertise for you. We will say Scooter and the Big Man brought to you by your company. $25 an episode. Or if you just want to try it for one episode, you can Venmo one of us $25 and we will do that. We will advertise your company. Or you can make up a company. You can make up a company completely random. It doesn't even have to be real. You can just Venmo us $25 and we can be like Scooter and the Big Man brought to you by like Philly Fleshlights, whatever you need.
I think that's the right way. The route we're starting to go is if you give us money, we will say whatever you want. And I think that's
This is like the How I Met Your Mother episode when Barney pays Robin to say things on the news to see if people are listening. That is this right now. You can have us say whatever you want for $25.
We are selling ourselves short.
Can we please take a step back and realize that in this day of age where, like, shout out to Barstool doing the Barstool Fund, where they're trying to support small local businesses, Brian's doing the Uno reverse card and wants small businesses to pay us to advertise their. I mean, I guess that's still, but we, like, we're not going to.
$25, Pat, we're not ripping them off.
That's, yeah, I guess that's true too. I'll like discreetly put their logo like in each graphic I make too. We'll be like the draft can be, have a sponsor. We got to look for a sponsor. Okay. That's the next draft I'm going to make. I'm going to say the draft needs a sponsor. Who wants to sponsor it?
The drafts. I think it's sponsored by Pink Whitney.
Scooter and the Big Man presented by Cornflakes. Anything.
We're not making up for Cornflakes.
Yeah, Cornflakes, a known stronghold on the podcast market.
Yes. Kellogg's really needs our help.
Yeah.
Small business.
All right, PJ, who's the random end of the week?
Random end of the week. We didn't talk about this because Brian didn't mention it before, but I have one in mind. It's Michael Kadire.
Yeah. I hate that.
I know. But that was like the first person I thought of when, like, I was like, oh, my pre-podcast ritual is find a random end of the week. And I was like, fuck it. Michael Kadire was like the first name that popped in my head for some reason. That's the Michael Kadire signing is a classic Wilpon signing where it was sign a guy very early in free agency and that's it.
And make sure he's best friends with David Wright.
That too.
So who would be the Michael Kadire of this free agent class?
The Michael Kadire of this free agent class would have been Trevor May. Like, they would have just stopped after Trevor May.
No. I mean, like, who's somebody that's like best friends with a current Met that isn't a Met?
Oh, fuck.
Like, oh yeah, we signed him because he likes this guy.
I have no idea who, because Mets are a very young team who their core players have just been on the Mets. I mean, Juan Lagares, maybe they bring him back again.
Oh God. Fuck Juan Lagares. I have a Juan Lagares jersey.
A classic Wilpon, like maybe not a Michael Kadire signing, but a Wilpon signing would have been to bring like Dylan G back or like John Neese.
You know, here's a bold prediction. I kind of want to end on this hot bold prediction. Robinson Chirinos will be in Mets camp this offseason.
Okay. Bold. That's the coldest, lightest, bold hot take I've ever heard. Sure. What do you want me to say on that?
PJ, plug the social.
Like, what do you... No. What do you want? What did you think my reaction to be on that would have been?
I thought you'd be excited. We liked Robinson Chirinos.
I couldn't give one fuck about Robinson Chirinos. He just literally cost the Mets whatever prospect and some money.
Game changer.
No, fuck you. No, what a whimper on this year, on our last podcast of the year. You go out with, I have a bold take. Oh, the Robinson Chirinos is going to be back on the... Fuck you, Brian. I'm taking your shirt back.
Fuck you, Brian.
I'm taking your shirt back.
I'll take it.
Give me the one that says Pat.
That's fine. Yeah.
Pat, before I plug the social, do you have anything else you want to say on this year?
This year, this was a fun year. 2020 was a great year. Look to 2021.
But I before we end, say something positive that happened to you this year.
In 2020?
Yeah.
I worked on a TV show and it was fun.
Brian?
And then I had a seven month vacation.
Something positive that happened this year.
Let's end this on a positive note. This has been a shit year. Let's be positive.
The New York Jets beat the Browns.
Brian, you're just being a dickhead now.
There might be no 2021 episode.
Yeah. I'm trying to spread positivity and trying to be a nice guy. I get you a nice shirt and you're just trying to be a dickhead. I don't know why.
I'm sorry. I'm happy my football team won a game.
You're literally the only person in that fan base who's happy their football team won a game.
Can I buy that shirt off Bill?
No.
Just buy the logo off him and stick that on your wall. Pat, that'd be a nice tapestry.
Pat, Bill listens. Make him an offer right now on that shirt.
Bill, I'll send you my Darius Geis Washington Redskins jersey if you give me that shirt.
Whoa. Bleep that out.
I mean, it's fair because he was on the team when they were called that. So
bleep it out.
We don't say that on the pod.
Well, the Washington team.
Washington, that's a football team, Pat.
That's a fair trade, Bill. My phone's open. You got my number.
Well, this has gone off the rails. My positive thing coming out of this year was going to be that we started this podcast and we got to have a lot of fun. But Brian had to be a dickhead, and now he's got to feel bad about it. So that's my positive. Brian feels bad now.
Boo.
All right.
So that's Happy it. New Year.
Follow us on Twitter at Scoot Big Man Pod. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Scooter Big Man Pod. Please just go follow. We're trying to put out as much content as possible. If you have any suggestions for the pod, for Twitter, for fucking anything, DM us. We're open to any sort of suggestions on things you guys want to see.
You want to sponsor the show? $25.
Meet the Mets, fuck the rest at last, cause you're listening to the best sports podcast. We got Brian with jokes that make you laugh on the floor. He's a nine of best, like Brennan and Moe. PJ's the man, so many hearts to steal, like a squirrel find a nut, call him Jeff McNeil. And then there's Pat, keeping everything rational. Too bad the fuckers are a fan of the Nationals. Stop us, please, we ain't that slow. Push a ball so far like Pete Alonso. So sit back, relax, and if you're a Mets fan, cause you're about to witness Scooter and the Big Man.